Listener-supported free speech radio, what are we really saying? The free speech radio part is about thought-provoking, challenging programming that uncovers stories you wouldn't normally hear on the radio. Listener-supported means it's your money that pays for those programs and the transmitters, the computers, the electricity, everything it takes to bring you this service. So here's a very large thank you to you, a listener in listener-supported free speech radio. And if you haven't yet gone from listener to supporter, please do so now. Give online at kpfk.org.
Hi, this is Angelique Kidjo, and you're listening to People Powered Radio, KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and worldwide on the web at www.kpfk.org. Peace and love.
Heights of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH. This is the Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday on 90.7 KPFK FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-hosts in the world, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a practicing attorney, and an owner of two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here again with you and with Ricardo to talk about cars and car events in Southern California.
And the Ricardo she refers to is an automotive journalism veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on Believe Network, 20th year, president of Hispanic Motor Press Association, Ricardo Rodriguez Long. Welcome, Ricardo.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you, Mark, Michelle, and all the audience, and we're so excited. There's still so many events to go, so many things happening, but remember, always check. Mark, where do we start?
Well, let's start out with a warning. As you know, a lot of Southern California is currently in flame right now. There are fires all over the place, and that includes most of the places with some of our favorite roads. So we're going to recommend that you stay off, for instance, stay off of Angeles Crest Highway, stay away from Big Bear, stay away from Mount Baldy Highway 39. I don't think they would let you in there anyway. Down in Michelle's neck of the woods, the Trabuco Canyon fire is going. I think it's called the airport fire, but stay away from all those areas. Just give up this week of driving and riding on your favorite roads. Stay out of the way so they can put those fires out. In fact, that is affecting some of our calendar items. We always start with the calendar items. Yes, Ricardo.
Also, that includes the off-road trails. So please, because these have been used by firemen to get to some of these hard to get places where things are in flames. So if you can take one or two weekends off from off-roading, that would be really appreciated.
Yeah, especially this weekend. Any number of good reasons not to do that. You can, of course, check with Caltrans and see if the road's open. There's a number of apps you can check to see there. If you're looking for something, as I said, we always recommend that you check before you go. But if there's something that we didn't mention here and you think you might want to do it, check SoCalCarCulture.com. They've got a great list of events there, and they'll take you somewhere. Speaking of the fires in Big Bear have, last we heard, postponed the Porsche timeline, which was scheduled for this weekend, September 14th and 15th in Big Bear. Porsche Club of America, they have postponed that due to the fire emergency. So do not go up to Big Bear with your Porsche. There's plenty of other places you can drive it. So do that. Drive elsewhere. We have a lot of things going on in Southern California that are far away from the fires and are still safe. Let's start off with the Peterson Automotive Museum. They're going to host a lowrider parade and car show. It's part of the museum's celebration of its 30th anniversary. They're going to have the lowrider parade and car show on September 15th. That's tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The parade will depart the museum at 10 a.m. So check that out. That sounds like a lot of fun. And of course, the Peterson Museum has that fantastic exhibit on lowriders. It's just jaw-dropping when you walk in there and see those things. It's well worth the price of admission to check that out. So that's Peterson tomorrow morning. Youth under 17 receive free admission to the museum on Sunday, September 15th. Michelle?
Well, it sounds like this parade is going to go right down Wilshire Boulevard onto the Miracle Mile. So maybe you can catch it, even if you're not in the museum or hanging around. Just be around in the Miracle Mile. Maybe
does it say up. Which direction?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Oh. So I know.
Oh. Thank you.
This
Peterson.
Is crucial.
Good to know. We'll hang out there and guess.
Find
you got
out.
A 50-50 chance. Put half the family west and half
yes.
the family east. And,
yeah. It, put them in different patios and different restaurants, and then everyone, you know, figure out which direction they're headed. It rolls out from the museum. So it's going to
start from the museum.
Maybe it'll, yeah.
Yeah. So that's
so
anyway.
Miracle
that's,
Mile. I would think it goes east. That would be my guess.
All right. Well, tomorrow, get there in the morning, Sunday, September 15th, at the Peterson Museum on Wilshire and Fairfax. And, check out all those cool lowriders. And after the parade, go inside the museum and see the lowrider exhibit. Very cool. Nice collection of very impressive cars.
Very.
So, yeah. All right. So what else do we have? There's another new museum.
If you are at the museum, you might as well another exhibit that you want to take advantage is Driven to Win, which is a history of automobiling competition that is happening at the Peterson Museum at the same time. So that's another excuse just to walk in.
Yeah, that just opened too. So a couple of weeks ago, they opened four new museums. This is four new exhibits at the museum. This is the fifth new exhibit in a couple of weeks there. So the Peterson, those guys are earning their pay right now. Yeah, Driven to Win, the automobile and competition. It's got highlighted race cars, include 1957 Tevar Bond Kirkland Bonneville Special, the first car ever equipped with a parachute, the 1957 Chevrolet Black Widow by Sedco, a 1966 Lola T70 Mark I Spider,
nice.
And a 1968 AAR, that's All American Racers, Dan Gurney's company, Eagle 68, which was driven by Denny Holm, the first car to achieve 200 miles per hour on a closed course. So there's going to be some really cool exhibits, and go down and check them out. But if you want, if you don't want race cars, if you want more practical transportation, this is also going on right now, today and tomorrow, at the Fairplex in Pomona, the Grand National Truck Show. It's the second annual Grand National Truck Show. That's very popular vehicles in the United States. Pickup trucks, everybody loves those things. Everybody's buying them. They're buying pickups and SUVs. That accounts for the vast majority of new vehicle sales in the United States. So the Grand National Truck Show at the Fairplex in Pomona today and tomorrow is a celebration of those things. And they're going to have, in addition to, they're going to have hundreds of trucks there. But among those, just like the Grand National Roadster Show, also held at Pomona, they're going to have they're calling it the World's Most Beautiful Truck Award. So there are 12 entrants for that. And we'll see who wins. Usually they give out all the awards Sunday night. So we'll see what is the world's most beautiful truck.
And for those that like to modify trucks, that finishing touch, especially if it's from the 1960s, you want to do the pinstriping. And there is a pinstriping competition going on today and tomorrow to see who are the best pinstripers in the country. So that's something else that gives it a different twist, something else, another reason why to go to the Pomona Fairplex.
Yeah, pinstriping is an art form. Didn't it start here in Southern California with who was that crazy crazy guy. Well, maybe we're all a little bit crazy. Von Dutch. Famous pinstriper. Again, another thing far away from the fire, Supercar Sunday at Pierce College, Sunday, September 15th from 7 to 10 a.m. And on this particular one, last time it was Porsches. This time it's the celebration of the Model A, the Model T, and pre-war cars. So there are a lot of those in Southern California. My neighbor used to have one. We used to go on the holiday excursion in his Model T Speedster. That was fun. But if you want to see Model A's and Model T's, get to Pierce College tomorrow, Sunday, from 7 to 10 a.m. That's put on by our friend Dustin Troyan, the guy in the orange hat. If you like the show, look for the guy in the orange hat and say, hey, you're doing a great job. He would like that. What do you think?
Yes, indeed.
We have another thing, Legacy Cars and Coffee, Saturday, September 21st. The theme is back to class transportation. This expect a nice turnout of shooting brakes and station wagons, as well as vans, pickups, and SUVs, anything that parents use to get the kids to school. Michelle, was this your event?
Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah. I trampled all over it. Sorry.
Did you notice that I said I used to take my kid to to school in the Ocho because it is a four-seater. So
Ocho being your RX-8.
I was the coolest mom ever. They would beg me to take that car every time.
And kids could fit in the back seat, right?
Yes. Teenagers, you bet. There's a trunk. So this is their 50th event, you guys. Legacy Cars and Coffee has been around now for years. And the address is Tustin Legacy at 1705 Flight Way in Tustin. And you can bring any car, even if you don't have a quote-unquote back-to-school kind of ride that you want to bring, whatever. Who cares? I mean, I might even bring the Miata. You know,
back to school for me would be a bicycle.
I always went on my bicycle.
I rode a skateboard to school.
Yeah, there you go. See, we're from Southern California.
We didn't have any helmets. It didn't hurt me.
Well, my mom had to be at work by 7, so I had to walk myself or ride my bike.
Yeah. Those were the days, man. Somehow we survived.
Yeah, exactly.
1705 Flightway in Tustin. Is that right next door to the Lion Air Museum? Am I thinking
it's close.
Of something else?
Something else, but it's very close because it's a brand new development. So right around it now are a whole bunch of new shopping centers, condos, and houses.
Okay. But it's not next door to the Lion Air Museum.
No,
I don't want to mislead people. Okay.
It's near it, but it's not that close. I mean, it would be a 10-minute drive. Yeah.
Okay. Tustin Legacy, 1705 Flightway, Saturday, September 21st. So that's a week from today.
Yeah.
7:30 a.m. to 9:30. Should you bring your kids?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And your dogs. And also there's a guy that brings his cat, Winston, the cat show. He's the car show cat. He shows up every once in a while. But I was going to tell you also on this, they're shifting this meet or car show where it's going to be predictable. Every Saturday, it'll be the third Saturday, in every month, starting this month. So
third Saturday of the month, Legacy Cars and Coffee.
Yep.
This time, that's Saturday, September 21st at 1705 Flight Way in Tustin. Just put that into your nav system or your phone, or pull out a paper map and try and find it. Probably won't be on there.
The Thomas Brothers.
Yeah. Thomas Brothers. Remember that?
Yeah.
We still have a couple of books of Thomas Brothers maps. When I was a young reporter, they would, you know, whatever you were writing about, they would give you the Thomas Brothers page that where it happened. I would take the Ford Pinto out there.
Yep.
Those were the days. All right. Speaking of old days, Route 66 Cruisin' Reunion on Euclid Avenue and Ontario is also next weekend, September 20th and 21st. Picturesque Euclid Avenue in Ontario. More than 22 square blocks of this historic avenue will be lined with over 900 cars. Cruising the avenue is a family event for the owners of these classic cars, all dated before 1988. That's a cutoff date I haven't heard before, 1988. Usually it's like 1973 or something, but 1988, that allows a lot of cars. So that's going to be on Euclid Avenue in Ontario. And it also includes evening concerts this year, headlining Grand Funk Railroad on Friday, September 20th, and Ambrosia and Orianthe, if I'm saying that right, on Saturday, September 21st. And again, if you've ever tried to play a guitar, just watch Orianthe do her work, and it's incredible. You'll just give up and say, I can't possibly compete with this.
Yeah, but she was Michael Jackson's guitarist.
Among many other great accomplishments. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Route 66 Cruisin' Reunion, Euclid Avenue, Ontario, September 20th to 21st. There's a lot going on there. And you can check it out at Route66CruisinReunion.com. That's cruisin, no G on the end of that, .com. Okay, Button Willow. Ricardo, yeah. This looks like one of yours.
Next weekend, we'll be racing at Button Willow with Vara Racing, which is Vintage Auto Racing Association, as they will be featuring a special all German cars race, plus the B Sedan Championship. There will be the Formula 4 Championship, a couple of hundred race cars that are a lot of fun to watch, to help, and to get involved. So if you want to get involved in vintage racing, this is a great way to do it. Come down to Button Willow. You take the 5 freeway, you get off on Lerdo Highway, make a left, and you will see the racetrack. It's a beautiful racetrack. And by the way, the new facility is almost done. Some of the new asphalt is being laid down as we speak. So pretty soon there will be a whole new racetrack. There will be two racetracks at the same location, which tells you that there's a lot of activity at club racing level all through Southern California to keep these racetracks busy all the time. So Vara Auto Racing next Saturday and Sunday at Button Willow. Racing starts usually about 9 a.m. And Button Willow charges $10, a $10 fee to get into the track. But after that, you can pretty much walk and talk to everyone and enjoy the weekend.
That is a long drive to get to Button Willow. I think it's about 2.5 hours for me every time I've gone there. But it might not be that hot. So, you know, it might be okay.
It's unfortunate that we have lost the Fontana Speedway racetrack, and that Southern California, especially the LA County, does not have proper racetrack. It's sort of a shame, but I just see that the World Texas Speedway is being torn down as we speak. So I guess there is a trend.
Yeah, why is that being torn down?
Urban sprawl? Yeah, a new apartment complex that we're going to be built in that facility. And it is a shame because it's also a world-class facility. But something is happening with racing in general that people are now going to the racetracks as they did just 10 years ago.
Yeah, I blame the internet. Vintage Racing, September 21st, 22nd. Vara, that's the Vintage Auto Racing Association at Button Willow. All German, plus the B Sedan Championship and Formula Ford. What are you driving there, Ricardo?
I'll drive the Formula Continental with a couple of friends. We really enjoy the wins and slicks. It gives you a different feeling. Yeah, it's enjoy. It's more exercise for the cars than anything else.
Okay. You really got to like racing to do that 2.5 hour drive to the middle of the Central Valley to get at Button Willow. But you can see Ricardo race. That'd be worth the price of admission easily.
It's relatively close to everything else that we do.
if you want for another great road trip, the Central Coast Air Fest, September 21st and 22nd, Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 5 at Santa Maria Airport, Santa Maria, California. They're going to have a whole bunch of really cool planes up there, including two right now that on the schedule is two F-35s, four F-35s. Two of them are F-35C, two of them are F-35A, and they're going to have one F-18, a KC-135, that's the tanker plane, and a T-38, which is the old Northrop F-5 thing, if I'm not mistaken, and an Osprey, which is the tilt rotor Marine Corps flying helicopter airplane thing. Central Coast Air Fest, September 21st and 22nd, Santa Maria Airport. Check it out at centralcoastairfest.com. www.freespeechradio.com for more information. And then closer down, you want to read this one, Michelle? This is Orange County. That's your bureau.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. There's something happening here at the Orange County Fairgrounds and Events Center in Costa Mesa. So this is also on, gosh, the same weekend, September 20th through the 22nd.
Big weekend.
Wow. So there's going to be what they call the Sand Sports Super Show at the OC Event Center. And let's see, this is the biggest and most exciting dune and dirt sports expo in the world. 3 days of fun and getting up close with the latest sand rails, ATVs, UTVs, side-by-sides, accessories, apparel, and a whole lot more. So this is starts Friday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 4. If you'd like to get in, it's a one-day ticket for $16. Go to sandsportssupershow.com.
Excellent.
We have so many trails and so many opportunities to do off-roading that these shows sometimes help you to sort of choose the vehicles and see what aftermarket items might be useful to put in your vehicle. But this segment of the motorsports have grown so much. Definitely all these UTVs and ATVs and sunrails are very, very popular. And the lucky thing is that we have a lot of places where to go and play with them. So definitely if you are thinking about it or if you're just curious, this is an event that can really open your eyes. Again, the Sun Sports Super Show at the Orange County Fair.
All right. And now with that, we'll move on to the news section. Michelle, is this yours on the top or is that
yes.
Ricardo's? Yes.
Oh, that's mine. I have a little legal issue here. So there's a new law that it could be signed by Governor Newsom that just landed on his desk last week. The state assembly passed a bill. And so, you know, from Schoolhouse Rock that it's only a bill until the governor signs it, right?
Right.
So it is not the law. Now, I see this a lot. People get freaked out just because it's a bill. And it doesn't mean that it's going to become law because the governor...
I think you could get freaked out about this if you wanted to.
You could. But if you paid attention to Schoolhouse Rock, he can either veto it or he can sign the bill and then it will become a law. So what is this proposal, this bill? It is going to, if it passes, require all new vehicle manufacturers as of the year 2030 to include technology that will alert the driver if he or she has exceeded the speed limit by 10 miles per hour. It'll include an audible and a visual alert. So it'll be a lot like your cross traffic alerts that you get in new cars, like when a pedestrian goes right behind you and it goes beep, beep, beep. Or if you're in, I think the Kias and the Hyundais have this and some other vehicles as well. When you go over the dotted line on the freeway and if you don't turn it off, it will go beep, beep, beep and alert you on your dash and sometimes even guide you back over to where you should be. It's going to be that kind of technology and it already exists. So it's not like something that has to get invented.
But it doesn't stop you from proceeding, does it? It just alerts you that you have exceeded the limit. Like you can set a limiter on a lot of cars now, which is mm-hmm. about the most irritating thing in the world. Right, Ricardo?
This will save lives. I think it should be approved because it will save lives. And so I think there's not much for debate from that point of view.
Well, there's debate because there are some
He's
senators.
He's laughing after having said that.
See, I wasn't looking at the video.
Yeah.
I'm focusing.
He is probably not in favor of this, as probably most listeners are not in favor of an audible warning. When I first read about this, I thought that it was actually a speed limiter that would stop you from continuing. But boy, that is just the most irritating thing, I think, in the world that I've heard of in a long time.
But more than just
the sound. We already have a lot of...
Yeah, more than just the sound, we have to remember all this data is being collected. So it can be used. I mean, we already have insurance companies that offer discounts if you allow them to go through your data and see how well you drive. So if you don't exceed the speed limit, you don't pass any red lights, you don't do any traffic violations, your insurance premium can be lowered. So this is another step where now you can probably get an instant deduction from your bank account because you exceeded the speed limit by 5 miles per hour. It's interesting how this is going to be developed.
Right. This is going to show like, all right, we're worried about a nanny state here. This is another step and a slippery slope, and people will oppose it for that reason. Pretty much.
Yeah, it's. I think just for being irritating, it should be. I mean, it's called for revolution in the streets right
there
now.
There was one representative who said, I already have things screaming at me in my car at any given moment. When I have my kids in the car, it's even worse. And the last thing I need is my car beeping at me.
Yep. And that is true. And it'll beep constantly because nobody in L.A. goes the speed limit. Sometimes I get in cars and I have to conserve electric power or whatever. And so I'm going along in the slow lane at the speed limit. And I am just I'm a danger to traffic going the speed limit. Everybody is going 20 miles an hour faster. The average speed on an uncongested freeway, according to my own personal observation, is at least 80 miles an hour, usually 85.
Mm-hmm. And people are annoyed with you when you're doing that. And
oh, they hate you. And, so many reasons.
Maneuvering around you. Yeah, they just hate you.
Yeah. Ricardo, you look like you wanted to say something.
No, I just think that we don't realize, but eventually all this is going to be control for two reasons. One is we need to save energy. We have to control how we use the energy. And also for safety. I mean, computers and robots and these autonomous vehicles have demonstrated already in just a handful of years that, yes, most of the accidents can be avoided. So I think that we are in a transition period. I think the younger crowd are not thinking about the automobile the way anybody that is 40 years or older thinks about. But slowly, I think we're going to move into more sort of an autonomous vehicle where it will do everything that we need to and it will take us from A to B in a safe manner. Technology is not slowing down. So I think it's just coming and we have to sort of accept the reality of what will be next.
To quote Dylan Thomas, rage, rage against the dying of the speed limit. Or something like that. Don't okay. Accept this, folks. Write to your congressman, your senator. Say, do not sign this bill. I will pull my contribution to your campaign if you sign this bill. I want you to lobby against it. We've got to stop this. I mean, this is just irritating. It's not like full-on intrusion. It's not stopping you from driving, but it's creating more irritation than you need.
But it is saving the data. That's my worry, is that it's just all the cars now are saving right. All the data. So everything you do in your car today, that data is going somewhere. It's being studied by somebody. So in general, it's just creating a platform where it could be at a point where they can dictate how much you can drive and how much you should stay home.
Yeah, if your insurance company got a hold of the data saying that you routinely drove 85 miles an hour like everybody does, they could use that against you. They could double your insurance. I mean, there are a lot of things that could go on here, and we're all just sitting here observing it happen. We should do more to fight it. But anyway, enough outrage. Let's move on.
To another outrage. Let's move to another
more outrage. Okay, the Lotus Eletre. That's Eletre. Why does Lotus continue to hang on to half the? You don't have to name everything with an E, Lotus. You can move on to F or even G,
yeah,
H.
Right.
There are a number of great names that start with S. You know, the squid,
the
speedster, the anything, but they, anyway.
The specter.
The specter. Oh, my. OMG. All right. So the Eletre was going to be a hyper SUV that it was going to come here by the end of the year, starting price of $110,000. It's the highest powered version of it was the R, and that was going to, I think, have 905 horsepower. It was going to get 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. It sounded very promising, but there are 100% tariffs on Chinese-made electric vehicles, and Geely owns or has a large investment in Lotus. Lotus claims they are not, you know, slaves of Geely. They can go on and do whatever they want. They have autonomy. But because the car is made in China, it is subject to a 100% tariff. So Lotus doubled the price. Basically, that's what happened. Now, they're calling the model the Carbon. They added a whole bunch of carbon fiber trim pieces to it and some other specialty features into this Lotus Eletre Carbon. But the fact of the matter is that it costs $229,000 now instead of $110,000 because of this 100% tariff on Chinese-made electric cars. Now, do we want clean, efficient transportation in this country? Or do we want to punish the Chinese? The laptops that we are using right now to record and broadcast this show, they weren't made here in Southern California. You know, nothing, almost nothing left was made here. It was all made in China. And to punish this small sliver of the world, the electric vehicle part of the auto industry, does not seem right to me. But there we are. This is one example of it here. The Lotus Eletre, now $229,000, thanks to your federal government.
Yeah, in addition to that, these tariffs is going to, you know, this is, I think the Lotus is just the first example, but there will be many more because,
right,
as we know, what we call legacy automakers, you know, Ford, General Motors, etc., they were already working on a number of projects with Chinese automakers because they do have the technology and they're further advanced in terms of electric vehicles than the American manufacturers. So even some companies already are importing Chinese vehicles. I can think of two or three, but I'm afraid even to mention because we might create another issue here. But the Chinese cars are already here under legacy automakers. These tariffs never work. They don't work in any situation. They only, you know, generates more controversy and confusion. But it's not a good sign to apply tariffs. Everything could be discussed and agree upon. But these 100% tariffs on Chinese-made electric vehicles are not really going to help the American industry.
No.
It's not going to happen.
May I just note that this is an election year and you want the support of the UAW. So you keep that 100% tariff on until the election's over and then you go, ha ha, suckers, and you take it off and we're all driving MG Cyberster from China and the world is a better place, I think. And I say that owning two electric cars myself, none of which cost $229,000. There you go. Shall we move on to another electric story? There are chargers. We all have complained about the electric vehicle charging network in Los Angeles, Southern California, all over California. And one problem is that there are not enough of them. Well, at AutoWeek.com, there's a very interesting story by my colleague Jay Ramey about a new kind of charger that is being installed in 150 locations put up by a company called EVSE and another company called Amp Up. They have collaborated to install 150 of these chargers that are integrated into Los Angeles streetlight poles, offering charging for city residents who might not have other charging opportunities at home. Now, you think about it, what they have done is they put these up about 12 or 15 feet up the light pole where you've already got electricity there. It's 240 volts, so it's a level 2 charger. And what happens is you scan a little code at the base of the light pole and your level 2 charger descends down. It unreels and descends down to you. You plug it in and you charge right there at the curb. I myself have used these on two separate occasions so far. The problem is you drive by them. It says there on your PlugShare app, it says, yeah, the charger's at this location. You're looking around. I don't see anything. I don't see a charger. Then you have to look up, and there it is, dangling up above you. And this is a good idea because it keeps the vandals away from them. Vandals are not going to shimmy up a pole just to baseball bat a charger for whatever reason they do that. But it works. So
It works. The only thing is you need to keep in mind where you have the charger connector in your car, because if it needs to be on the side of your sidewalk, just to make sure, because if it's
actually you can just unreel more of the thing and it can reach the other side.
Yeah, but now you are taking a little bit of space, and someone in a bicycle cannot realize that that thing is sticking out on the side of the car. So also cars.
I don't know how big a problem bicycle whacking is going to be on this, but it's a good solution, I think. And you can always just turn your car around and face the other way. I don't know, that which is illegal, and we are not recommending you do anything illegal. But it's an interesting solution, you know, one of the many solutions we need to get more electric vehicle chargers out there. Mm-hmm. People say, well, I live in an apartment or a condo and they won't let me put in a charger. Well, here's one more opportunity for you to get electricity into your vehicle. And what about the notion, speaking of electric vehicles in the United States of America, is it possible? Who remembers MG?
I raced an MGB for 10 years. So, yes, I know.
So,
I miss that car.
MG might be coming back to America, or, you know, it's potentially possible that MG is returning to the United States. It is now, of course, like everything, owned by a Chinese company. But I'm trying to open this thing up, and of course,
but unfortunately, that 100% tariff may apply unless they build the car somewhere else.
Mexico. They are building them in Mexico. So SAIC Motors joins with BYD with plans for Mexican factories. And, you know, they say right now that they're only building them for the Mexican, Central American, South American market. But it could come our way. The facility that they're building down there is good for 100,000 units annually in its initial phase. We don't know more at this point, but they've got a factory, or they're going to have a factory down there. So we could get MGs up here. MG, I think, stood for Morris Garage. Some people say it doesn't stand for Morris Garage. I mean, you know, web commenters will say all kinds of things. But check out the MB Cyberster. That's at autoweek.com. There's a picture of it. And just imagine having that car around here available to us. I think it would be cool.
That is a concept, but actually they do have a beautiful SUV that is becoming very, very popular in Mexico.
You don't hear that. Those two words together, beautiful and SUV. So
yeah, but that it is a very nice vehicle, very good design. It's very popular, and I believe it's already made it into the top 10 of the cars sold in Mexico. So it's not just cars, but definitely, like every other automaker, MG needs to have some type of SUV crossover to get into any markets today.
That's right. MG currently makes 5 EV models in the UK. And every time you go over to, you know, Goodwood or something, there's always a huge MG display there. So who knows? I mean, this is all wild speculation just based on the fact that they're going to build a factory there. But, you know, that might be kind of cool. MG, a little MG electric sports car to drive around. I would be in favor of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'd have to go head to head with the rumored electric Miata that's down the road.
What is the status of that one?
Rumors and speculation.
That's good enough for us.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing, that the next Miata gen will be all EV. So,
wow.
Can you imagine that much horsepower in that teeny car?
You would have to have, where are they going to put all the batteries? So the range might not be that far, because you can't get that much battery into a little.
Yeah, it might end up like one of those Fiats, right? That had like 35 range.
The only problem that I see with that is that it will not go with the Sky Active approach. So that will have to go out the window.
Well, yeah, it'd be a completely different. It would be a shift, you know.
Well, Sky Active is mostly just about efficiency, right?
That's and right.
It's the whole
an electric motor is very efficient. Yeah, the whole package.
But a sports car electric vehicle is not a use of efficient use of energy. Just
we're all going.
Well, I. Okay,
we don't have
time to argue that point. But
who's going to tell him? It's not the point, Ricardo.
It's free speech here on KPFK 90.7 FM.
And we're
free speech radio. Yeah, Michelle, you have 1 minute to tell us about NASCAR.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Speaking of wasting resources. Okay. So, as we know, racing. NASCAR is going through a crisis with its teams, which we've talked about before, because the contracts are up for renewal. And what they call them is charters, right? So NASCAR won't let you race unless you agree to their terms in their charter agreement, which is up for renewal. So the teams have hired lawyers. They wanted to work with NASCAR, and this has been months in the making. Well, finally, over the last weekend, there was a deadline, and a bunch of the teams said, all right, we'll sign the 105-page deal to keep us going and racing for next year. But the news was that two teams have held out. I didn't realize that Michael Jordan's team is one of the holdouts. And its name is 23XI. They are considered one of the bigger players. Then there's another team that's called
Front Row Motorsports.
That's it, Front Row. Thank you, Ricardo, for the save. And they're a smaller team. But Michael Jordan's people are being very vocal about this and saying, we are annoyed that we can't get any concessions at all out of Bill France. So they have basically very, very few options at this point, since they are saying publicly that they don't want to sign, which is one of them is litigation. And step two is, well, you're out, because NASCAR is totally within its rights to tell them by December 31st, you're gone.
Yep, that's what they signed up for. So we'll see what happens there.
I don't know why, but I get a feeling that it has to do with money.
What? Money and racing?
Yeah.
How do you make a small fortune in racing?
I thought you were going to say they want EVs, you know.
That's right. It's a conspiracy. They want EVs.
Yes.
Well, so stay tuned on that.
All right. Well, we're moving on now to our review section. And we're going to start out with a couple of very small, very efficient cars. I just got back. Ricardo did one small, efficient car, and I did the other one. I just got back from driving the 2025 Nissan Kicks. Now, the Kicks is a, what would you say, an entry-level SUV. It's very small, very cost effective, and et cetera, et cetera. It has a brand new look on a brand new platform. It has a new engine. It now has a 2.0 liter four cylinder replacing the previous 1.6 liter, and that increases torque and horsepower up to 141 horsepower and 140 pound feet of torque. Now they call that, they say that's confident highway passing and better off the line acceleration. Now they're saying that, but I drove the car. It has, like almost everything in the world now, it has a CVT transmission, which in my opinion, driving it, it feels like a rubber band. You step on it and the rubber band stretches out and you hear the engine going, and it takes a while to actually get some acceleration going there. Several times I'd be cruising along at about, say, 45 miles an hour. I'd floor it and it seemed to take a long time to get up to speed. Now, you do have the benefit of fuel economy there. You have in this new Nissan Kicks, you can get a front wheel drive that has 31 miles per gallon combined, or you can get all wheel drive that has 30 miles per gallon combined. So that's That's a good thing, you know, and it's an all new transmission. It has intelligent all wheel drive. They're expecting to sell a lot of these in snow country, Colorado, the Northeast, maybe even up in rain country in the Northwest. So it's got a lot going for it. And in fact, the way it works is it's mostly like even the all-wheel drive ones, intelligent all-wheel drive, most of the time it's just front-wheel drive. When it detects slip, it engages a clutch, which engages the rear open differential to get power to the rear wheels. And if one of those is slipping, it applies the brake to the slipping wheel. And as you're going around a corner, it even applies the brake to the inside wheels on the corner, all of which sounds like it would be a fun car, right? But as with so many cars, and I don't want to just bash Nissan on this because they're not the only ones doing it, but I think the CVT transmission sadly kind of wipes out any benefit. But the pricing is not bad. It starts at just over $21,000, and it'll go up to $31,000. And the $31,000 is a very good, well-equipped vehicle. It has a lot of cargo space, up to a total cargo capacity of 60 cubic feet. If you fold the back second row seats down, 30 cubic feet with the seats up. I looked in there and I saw a lot of space. You can get one of those 65-inch Costco TV screens in there, fold down the seats, the whole thing fits in there flat. It's not bad. I was surprised at the looks of it. Has a very upright front end and a very upright rear end, which I think they did to make it look larger, but I don't know. I had a few problems with it, but Ricardo drove a Kia Soul, which is a direct competitor to this. What did you think of that car, Ricardo?
Well, I think this Soul, if we remember when it came out, it was shown as a concept in 2006, and then 2008 made its debut at the Paris Auto Show. And at that time, we still have the Scion XB and the Nissan Cube. So it felt into these kind of boxy type of vehicles, that were great for the city because it gave you plenty of, room for passengers, cargo space, but they were economical, easy to maneuver everywhere. And it peaked, in 2016, the Kia Soul was selling almost 154,000 a year, which is very good numbers for these type of cars. But now we are on the third generation, we just had a recent upgrade last year, and the sales have come down to 60,000, and it makes me wonder, wow, that's a big drop. This car has been in the market a long time, and it is, I think, a great city car. First of all, it's only $20,290. So we almost don't have cars at these numbers anymore to get, a comfortable four-passenger compact. It is powered now by a four-cylinder, two-liter engine. And similar to the Kicks, horsepower is around 147, 148 horsepower, which is plenty for the city. You get a range between 28 and 35 miles per gallon. The only thing that doesn't have compared to the Kicks is that it only comes from as a front-wheel drive. And so for the city, you don't need it. But if you are in an area where the weather is an issue, then there might be another option. I like the vehicle. It always had a sort of an interesting look. It's very distinctive. I like the newer version that is still sort of conserves that original 2006 concept look. Plenty of power. I like that within this car, the same car, also you can get an electric version, which shares the platforms with the Kia Niro. But I think something else that I want to mention is a car that is very, very safe. The Insurance Institute puts this car as one of the safest, and I think it's a great used car. This vehicle is really, really good as a used car as well. So you can find a lot of these cars with just 20,000, 30,000 miles, under $15,000. So that's another option. And we know that Kia does a very, very good job in terms of reliability. No issues, and this is a very proven mechanical on this car. So I like this car. As I mentioned, if you need a commuter for every day, a brand new car for $20,000, it's kind of hard to beat. I think that's pretty good. The sales coming down, I think it has to do with, unfortunately, I think Kia has too many similar cars within that segment. You have the Seltos, the Nido, the Sportage, and the Soul, which pretty much are very close in space. Some are more powerful, some has more options, but I think it's just too many. But again, if you're looking for a used car, I would say take a look at the Kia Soul. That is one of the bargains, I think, in the used car market today.
It is, definitely. Definitely. So, okay, a little bit, something a little bit different here. We're going to go back in ancient history, and we're going to check out the BMW M5, specifically which M5 was best. Now, up at Pebble Beach, as you may know, BMW introduced the new M5 Touring, and that's the same basic car as the M5 Sedan, which is the current model. It's a hybrid right now, and that is the seventh generation of the BMW M5. Now, M5, a lot of people think that that was the greatest sedan ever made, but there is some debate which of the seven M5s is the best. So I have sort of an opinion. A lot of people like the original one, straight six engine, you know, because it sort of revolutionized the idea of the sedan being something that could be seen as a sports car and yet still a practical vehicle. But actually, there's so many of them here that are so good. I don't know.
If I may, Mark, I think what created that segment, we have to remember the Mercedes-Benz 1984, the 190 2.3 16 valve. That was a Cosworth engine, because that's basically what created the M. Before that, M did not exist. So BMW, to compete with Mercedes-Benz, the DTM, they created the M department, and they came up with the two-door M320 at the time. And then the next generation was the four-door, you know, 5 series 5M with a tremendous amount of power and beautiful.
I remember that Mercedes. And in fact, I'm so old, I think I went on the press launch for that thing. Is that possible, or am I thinking of a different one?
I can't forget, because I own one.
That's right. You owned and you raced it. Now, yours was actually used in a race, right? Carlos Reutemann drove your car?
No. It is made to look like that. It is an original 2.3.
Oh, so that's not Carlos Reutemann's car? I've been believing that you had his car all these years, and it was just a copy of it. Oh, that's right. This is going to take me a while to process. I don't know. But
well,
anyway,
process this, talk about the M5.
I agree with you that Mercedes was a great car, but so were so many of these M5s. I particularly myself, if given a choice, historically speaking, I would take your pick, your typical M3 over your M5, just because it's smaller, more nimble, it's lighter. I don't know. But the M5 was certainly a powerhouse. And now I am going to boldly state that my favorite M5 was the fourth one, the E60. It was made from 2006 to 2010, and that was a 500 horsepower, 5-liter V10. And now our colleagues at Road and Track got a 0 to 60 of 4.1 seconds in that. Top speed, 190 miles per hour. That was during the time, of course, when all the Formula One teams had V10 engines. So, of course, the BMW M5 had to have a V10 as well. Now, there were a few V10 engines floating around back in those days. I remember Volkswagen in particular had a V10 powered, the Touareg. Even had a diesel. I got to drive the diesel V10 manual Touareg. That was probably, you know, the car writer's dream. That
Viper also.
The Viper was a V10, you are right. And so was the Ram pickup, right? Also had a V10 engine. So that's why I pick it. I picked this one. It was just the red line was a then unheard of 8,250 RPM. The block came from the same foundry that cast the blocks for the Formula One engines. This is how extreme they're getting. Seven speed paddle shift sequential manual gearbox inspired by the BMW Sauber F1 team's sequential gearbox. And it had adaptive suspension. It just seemed like the best all-around package. Did either of you guys have a favorite M5 or any M5 memories?
I have to agree. I mean, I was very impressed when the first one came out, just because it was a sedan. And if you remember at that time, also Mercedes-Benz came out with the 300 AMG. Which was built by Porsche. So all of a sudden, you got all these powerful...
That was the 500.
The 500.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you got these four doors, you know, cars that were just super fast. And it was very interesting. So the M, I like, because they went from the Alpina version to the M. And they have a tremendous chassis. It was, the thing was to turn. But I agree with you. The V10 sound is hard to beat.
It is impressive indeed. Now, the current one, the number 7, which they are calling internally the G90, is going to be out soon, maybe by the end of this year. Looking forward to driving that. As I said, it's a hybrid, so it has a twin turbocharged hybrid V8 making 717 horsepower, 738 pound-feet of torque, 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. And again, top speed of 190 miles per hour. That's probably limited by tires, Ricardo.
And following with BMW's accomplishments with motorsports, this is the engine that is used in the IMSA series for the BMW prototypes.
Yep, it is indeed. And so it's a very promising looking car. I saw it, first saw it at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, and then again here at Pebble Beach. It's impressive. They auctioned off the very first one in a unique orange color that I didn't have the bucks. It went for somewhere up in the six figures at an auction up there in Pebble Beach. Very impressive setup. The electric motor alone adds 194 horsepower and 207 pound-feet of torque. So that's just with the electric system in there. However, if you want to complain about something, and we can complain, the battery for that system, it's a 14.8 kilowatt-hour battery pack, and that bumps the curb weight of this new M5 to 5,390 pounds, which is kind of heavy, but you know, it's not like a Hummer H1 heavy kind of thing. Hummer EV.
And I think that's been a little bit of the talk in the industry about having an M5 that is so heavy, right? But it's a hybrid, and that's why you have all this power. Now, something you wanted to mention and talk about is Surviving Baja.
Yeah,
what is that?
That is a new documentary that is out, and it was produced by the Score International. Runs four races in Baja California, Mexico, and what they did was they filmed all of them last year. So this is the 2023 version of this, and it is. I watched as much of it as I could. I couldn't watch all. I did, you know, because it's like an hour for each episode, so 4 hours. I couldn't justify sitting there just watching TV for 4 hours. But there are a lot of interviews, and they seem to interview the right guys each time. And they came up with this thing, and it's a good series. You can watch it on, let's see, I'm going to get you the right locations where you can watch it on Tubi, on Roku, and Apple TV. So it's free to watch there. Check it out. It's called Surviving Baja. It's a take on Drive to Survive. So let's hope that they do a good job for this year's races, which are being run right this weekend, is the Baja 400. So with that, I guess we're out of time. Are we out of time, guys?
Unfortunately.
Okay. So we will, we bid you an adieu. Stay off of those fiery highways this weekend, and we will see you next week here on The Car Show.
DJ Namde from Radio Aphrodisia. Join us every Saturday as we nice up your weekend. It's all about music from Africa and the African world. Radio Aphrodisia, 4 to 6 p.m. It's Champeta Criolla from the coast of Caribbean, Soca Calypso, Juju Music, Musica Afro-Cubana, Cha-Cha-Cha, Afrobeat High Life. It's all in the mix. Radio Aphrodisia, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Showtime. Tune in!